Joe presents Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby, together with Guinness.
Hello and you're welcome to Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby on Joe, together with Guinness. Jenny, we had a lifeline sent to us, didn't we, by Wales at the weekend. We're back in the game. Six Nations is on. Six Nations is more or less ours again, isn't it? Yeah, it's pretty much ours. Then why is everybody hating Ireland? We get a bonus point win in Italy and then we're the bad guys.
People just like to hate on the reigning champs.
We're spoiled.
We are spoiled.
Are the team crap or are the supporters spoiled? Spoiled little
team
brats.
Are definitely not crap. And the supporters, I'm not going to say anything bad about them either because there's more of them. They're not crap. No, it's just kind of like you said, we're spoiled for choice. And when we don't have a near perfect game, like panic buttons are pressed and it's suddenly like, oh God, the World Cup, the Six Nations. It's still fine. Like, the guys got back after a tough loss against England. They ground out a win against Scotland. It wasn't the nicest of performances today, but it's still a bonus point win away from home against an Italian team that I think is personally doing really well. Like, we racked up in the last 3-4 years over 50 points on them, on that team, and the gap was, like, I think on average, Pat was saying 34 points. They've shortened that gap now, so they only lost to Scotland by 13, 12 or 13, Wales by 11, and Ireland by 10. So they are getting better, and like it wasn't our best day at the office.
The spread was 30, so I think everybody's kind of, well, I think Italy are getting better. So Irish rugby supporters' reaction is never, aren't Italy brilliant? It's always the opposite. It's always, well, it's more so recently because we've been playing well. And it's always kind of critical of the lads, isn't it? I wonder whenever Ireland beat New Zealand in the autumn, what the New Zealand's press, what their reaction was. Would they be slating their lads, or would they actually be kind of sensibly saying, listen, Ireland are on fire at the minute? You know, obviously Italy can't really compare, but still, it's just strange, isn't it? And we're spoiled brats.
Yeah, and maybe we're not used to being in that position of like number two in the world. You know, we've carried that underdog kind of card for so long. Maybe we've kind of gotten used to it. And then when suddenly it's flipped and we are favourites going into not just games, but tournaments, again, like that sense of unease and panic if something doesn't go particularly right. It's a bonus point win. Yeah. It's grand. And we are still, thanks to Wales, in with a shot of getting some silverware.
I know. Anytime Jacob gets the ball and doesn't score a try, that is disgraceful behaviour.
Couldn't agree with you
Who
more.
Who do you think you are, not scoring tries every time you get the ball?
What a waste.
Jacob.
Yeah. Like,
get your finger out.
He's absolutely on fire.
I know.
Like, and then, like, a break right at the end as well. It's just, like, not to, like, that pace. And, like, he's obviously going fast, but he doesn't look like he's going. He's just a speedster. He's just, like, how many? He's top 10 now. He's in the top 10 of Irish try scorers of all time, isn't he? He's, like, catching up on you. Yeah.
Everyone's catching up on me. Well, even Murray's catching up on me.
Still up there. Still beat the All Blacks on your own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Single-handedly.
Hurt your back doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Carrying the team.
Yeah. We've got a friend of mine's coming in to see us later on, Craig Gilroy.
Sound?
I think you'll like
him.
It's
not a convincing sound.
I think you'll like him.
Okay.
I told my wife earlier on, Craig's coming on the show, and she said, oh, she goes, don't be getting too silly and giggly. Which I think, Craig, I think that's a compliment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Been hearing it for years.
Yeah. So, anyway, Craig's going to come on later on.
He's right there, so he can't really talk.
Craig's going to...
Oh, he's not there.
Yeah. He's going to come on and give us his breakdown of where he thinks this Irish team are at. More importantly, he's going to tell us some funny stories about teammates.
So, perfect.
Yeah.
Dob the minute.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So anyway, we'll get back to the rugby. What about what about a few guys who got opportunities, like Jordy Murphy, Alton Delan,
Kilcoyne.
Kilcoyne went well.
Yeah. I thought three of those really solid performances. I think we did miss some of our bigger ball carriers, like Stander. It was great to see Henderson coming on. But maybe that kind of, I guess, lack of physicality at times was a bit telling. I think it was a tough day at the office for Sean Cronin, mm-hmm. if I'm honest. I don't really know the goings on of lineouts, but it was, and you can't blame the hooker for, you could, it'd be either overthrows or mistiming. I wasn't too sure, but it's never good when you're going off at 48 minutes. You know, that's like, that's not where you want to be. I'd imagine he'd be pretty disappointed.
He'd be gutted, I'm sure.
Yeah.
He's waited a long time for his first start in Six Nations, and yeah, I'm sure he'd be disappointed. The one, I think the one that you're probably thinking of there, the one that looked like an overthrow, I can't remember who it was in the air, but they seemed to drop very quickly, and I don't think, I have no clue, really, if I'm honest about lineouts, but it looked like he dropped quite quickly. It might have been O'Mahony, was it?
I'm not too sure.
Again, I'm not too sure.
And again, like lineouts, and like I wouldn't be able to kind of look at it and be like, oh yeah, that's definitely where that went wrong.
Yeah.
But like again, it's the hooker is the easiest person to blame in that scenario from an onlooker. So
yeah. Yeah, it's the lazy conclusion to jump to, isn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway.
No.
But obviously, Andrew Conway got a bit more game time as well.
And that's hard. He coming in, I think he was really late into camp as well, and then having to go on early.
Yeah. To go change the position for Earls is difficult for him as well. I missed this, actually. I came back in and I couldn't understand why Conway and Earls were on the pitch at the same time, because I nipped out into the kitchen because Mummy was making Nutella pancakes, and I was starving. So
so you giggled like a little
I was like, oh,
get some for Craig.
That's perfect. Yeah. So I got my Nutella pancake, came back in, and I just couldn't work out what had happened.
Ideal pancake topping. Side note.
Yeah. a welcome just, side note. Yeah. Enough rugby for 1 week.
Like, are you going Nutella with strawberries? Nutella with bananas? Nutella.
This one was Nutella with bananas.
Okay.
Now that, I felt like that just got me going. And that got me into pancake mode.
Yeah.
Back to the kitchen. And then by this stage, Anna had finished making pancakes for the kids.
Mummy or Anna?
Oh, sorry, Mummy.
Mummy. Okay, yeah.
The kids had had enough pancakes and I was like, I'm still hungry for pancakes.
Yeah.
So.
Fluffy, thin?
Fluffy enough, yeah. Not a crepe.
Okay. So a hybrid.
To be fair, that one I was making myself, so I didn't. I'm not dictating the terms. Oh no, I'm making a fluffy one here. I'm making whatever comes out.
Okay, it has to be cooked.
Yeah, because I forgot to put butter on and I had to scrape it at the bottom and stuff.
That doesn't sound great.
Yeah, I know. I made up for it. Pancake was crap. I just put more Nutella on. That was fine.
Classic, just smother.
Yeah.
Forget. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So anyway, came back in and I couldn't understand what had happened. Anyway, so Bundy got a bang in the head, did he?
Yeah, like 12 minutes in, and like. Again, that's probably one of the most difficult positions to slot in with the bench that we had. So, yeah, Farrell had to move in, and then it was Earlsey at 13, Conway coming in. And again, like late camp and kind of all that compounded to maybe make a performance that it didn't really click. And it was, that's understandable. Like, we know Earlsey's, he's solid on the wing. He's world-class winger, 13, even though he's played there a few times. It's definitely not. He's not known as being the most vocal.
I thought he looked busy though. He was.
Yeah, he got around
a lot of involvement.
Yeah,
and then, so Farrell went to 12. Then obviously.
Yeah.
So then again, that's another guy who's out of position as well. I thought he did well.
No, they did really well considering like the amount of shifting and stuff they had to do.
Yeah.
Earls took his try really well.
Yeah.
Like that guy's got some of the best footwork on the island.
Yeah.
Like it is a hot stepper. That was really good, kind of like an individual try coming from nothing.
Yeah.
Well, no, they were building, but it was like a serious piece of skill from him. So.
Yeah.
And then there was still like strong performances, but again, I can't imagine any of the guys would have been like really tapping themselves on the back, being like, "Oh, we were class today." But it was it's kind of job done. Have a week, which is nice, and then build to. What was a really impressive France team?
Yeah,
beating Scotland.
A few decent performances from the Italians as well. Hayward was going unbelievably well. Esposito was going well.
Oh,
I called him Esposito, but actually Barry and I were talking about this in a previous episode. Fofana became Fofana at one stage. Lamont, Sean, and Rory became Lamont, and then Esposito has become Esposito. I swear, like, everybody was calling him that. The Nick Mullins commentator and then Draco Draco called him Esposito as well. I was going, is he any relation to Esposito?
I don't know, but now I was trying to pay attention, but that song was just going on the back of my mind as well. So I was like, just nod your head and pretend it's really interesting.
No, that's
but
fine.
Like, whatever you said, yeah, I agree with.
I should have known there was something going on in your head.
Oh, no, actually, I was just kind of glazed over.
You're just glazing and smiling.
It's like, great song.
Anyway, so probably the Wales England game was kind of more of a proper test match, wasn't it?
That was like I felt sore watching that game afterwards. Yeah. It was just absolutely brutal.
Yeah.
Unbelievable performance from Wales.
Yeah.
And it looked like the first 40 minutes, England, you were kind of like, oh, they could tip on here and maybe pop a few more scores. But in fairness to Wales, they really backed their fitness.
Yeah.
Like, because England were putting huge line speed and pressure when Wales had the ball. But then, like, territory, they kept the ball really well. And they dealt with, well, Farrell's kicking in the second half in particular kind of went a bit wayward, and it wasn't as sharp as it had been in the first half or in the previous two games.
Yeah.
So, and that definitely helped Wales as well. And then they just, like, we know Warren Gatland likes to keep the ball alive. There was a serious amount of phases there, and that's a very, very fit Welsh team. Like, their try that ended with Corey Hill, 35 phases, every single Welsh player took the ball into contact at some stage, except for the nine. And the ball was kept alive for 4 minutes and 17 seconds, which is a disgusting amount of time to defend.
No, or, thanks.
Yeah, I'm like, nah, pass.
Nah.
Yeah.
Nah. Retirement, thank you. Cheers.
I'm like, I'll be on the watt bike rehabbing. Not today.
Yeah. Don't think so.
So, like, that was unbelievable. And then huge amounts of skill, that aerial, that, like, Anscombe thought did well, but when Bigger came onto the field, different level again. The guy just plays in those big games.
Yeah.
He just hits another level.
You said this before, actually, as well. Mm. You think Bigger should be getting ahead of Anscombe?
I think Bigger was carrying a knock, probably why he maybe wasn't starting.
Yeah.
And even though Anscombe's going really well with the Blues this season, and he's had some, like, stellar performances, those big moments, it's always Bigger that backs himself and does it, like, aerial kick across.
Bigger moments.
Bigger moments.
Yeah.
You should look in the camera and say that.
No.
Do it.
If we can get rid of that, if we can edit that out, Pat, that'd be great. Cheers. And then, then obviously I watched the Scotland-France game as well. I saw every minute of Six Nations this weekend.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm all rugby'd out. I was at the Ulster game on Friday night as well, commentating, and it was terrible. It was so, so crap. Zebra were really struggling. They've obviously lost loads of guys to Italy, and it looked like Ulster, they're in cruise control, you know, they're kind of scoring tries whenever they wanted to, and then they're just, anyway.
Did they rack up 50-something? Did they rack up?
Yeah, but both teams were bored. Zebra knew they were beat, they just wanted it on the bus, and then they had a Fijian six who was just so bored, he was running around smacking people off the ball because he just couldn't be bothered playing rugby anymore, and they wanted on the bus, and then Ulster just wanted to get, they got their bonus point. And then, anyway, that was game over. So that was definitely the low point of the weekend. Six Nations was great. The other game we haven't talked about is the France-Scotland game. France kind of back from the dead a little bit. Scotland were poor enough, were they not?
Yeah, like, I know that you hear them talking about, like, all the amount of injuries and stuff they have, which is fair enough, but Ireland have had a serious amount of injuries, and, like, I know there might be more depth. We have definitely got a lot of depth, but, like, that's not the performance you want.
Yeah, I didn't think it would be that much of an issue. I thought Peter Horn would be fine. Obviously, the big injuries, Finn Russell and Stuart Hogg, I thought Peter Horn would be fine. I think he's a good player. And Kinghorn, is that his name?
Blair.
Yeah, like, he's been tearing up for Edinburgh this year as well. So I thought they'd be grand, but they're poor enough. Adam Hastings came on and played really well. And Ali Price came off the bench. The two 9 and 10 came off the bench. I thought gave them something, but yeah, they kind of struggled a little bit.
When Bastro has the confidence to chip and chase in a Six Nations game,
doesn't bode well.
Yeah, And he took it really well too. It led to a really good try out wide for France.
I know.
But I had to rewind and be like, he just chipped and chased there.
I thought it looked a little bit clumsy.
But when it works,
it was
though,
perfect.
It was
yeah.
It was grand.
I know, yeah.
Yeah, end result. I'll take that.
Yeah. So what about, will we make any changes for the France game?
I'd say so. Well, like, injury-wise, I'd imagine, Aki should be cleared and kind of good to go.
Yeah.
I thought Farrell had a solid game considering the amount of moving that he had to do.
Yeah.
Coming back from a knee knock. But I'd say if Ringrose is fit, he'll probably slot back into that 13 position.
Is,
I don't know.
Is Ringrose more likely to be fit than Henshaw?
I think so.
Pat? Yeah. Pat! Pat the meatloaf!
They were saying...
Where's my pancake?
It was one of those ones again where it was like Schmidt often says, if we had to play Robbie Henshaw, we could have.
Yeah, okay.
You know, he says that all the time, like, if we had to, we'd play him. So Henshaw's supposed to be very close, like.
Okay. But Ringrose probably...
I think the two of them could be back, though, back in the mix. Like, we've got another 2 weeks, like, so I think both of them could be back available, so... It'd be great to see the two of them in again, but they would have gone a long time without playing a game, especially Henshaw.
And then
I don't think you can remove Aki from Farrell is a huge physical presence in midfield. Aki is too. I don't know. I think if Aki be fine, I'd have him back in that 12 jersey first, and then depending on who's either training well or what they kind of. What they want from the game, it's Henshaw or Ringrose in a 13. Like, that's nothing against Farrell either. He had an all right game today.
I thought he went well.
Yeah.
Went really well.
Yeah, so I don't know. Mm. Jury's still out.
Yeah, and would Carberry get a run, or would. What about Kieran Marmion's coming back in, or would Cooney get a go? I don't know.
I don't know. Like, I'd imagine that Murray is going to start again. I think Cooney will probably stay on the bench, but then he only got minimal amount of minutes today. I thought we'd see more. Maybe if the game was a little bit more open and we had a bit more breathing room, he would have come on earlier. Same with Jack Carty getting his first cap. I think he was only on the pitch for 4 or 5 minutes. So that's kind of either they want Murray and Sexton to get as many minutes as they can together, because it's been a bit fragmented that way.
You made that point. I think you were saying when Wales played Italy, they had a lot of guys with a lot of game time, so they needed breaks. But for a lot of our lads, they kind of need more game time. So
yeah,
they're still trying to play them. They're still not quite where they were in the autumn when they were peaking, kind of All Blacks. So they're probably just trying to play them until things click a little bit more. But I'm sure it's not a million miles away. But
no, and they've played together numerous times before. I can't imagine it would take too long to gel either. The more minutes, the kind of better as well.
Yeah,
so it was,
yeah.
And again, it wasn't perfect performances from. Well, it never is from any player across the board. But more minutes under your belt, you get a bit of confidence going into a slightly ropey French team at times, who are now starting to play some nice.
It's bad timing, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, I think it's. Like, even how the fixtures fell for us, it wasn't great timing either. Like, England came out of nowhere and took us by surprise. I think even when we had them in the second game, we might have been like, okay, we know what they're about.
Yeah, it was the perfect storm, wasn't it?
Yeah.
England shattered our confidence, and then everybody else kind of picks the bones of us.
Mm. Yeah.
And kind of feeds off that.
And we still are in title contention. That's the thing as well.
Yeah.
Like, I know we've got, two tough games, especially before the tournament. I was thinking mightn't be a Grand Slam decider, but I do think that last game with Wales and Ireland is pivotable. Damn it.
It is. What
was I trying to say? Something beginning with P.
Pivotal.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Yeah.
Beck.
That'll do us for part one.
Great, we'll end on that. We'll end on a high.
Sorry, Jenny. That's my fault. I didn't.
No, it's not pivotal.
No, but I didn't need to make a big song and dance about it. Sorry for doing that. Very unprofessional, sorry.
It's grand. You nailed the Rocky theme tune last week, so.
Oh, yeah, it's a final countdown.
Yeah.
No one on Twitter gave me a hard time about that. It's gone completely unnoticed.
All right. So. Nothing chewed in their grog or anything like that?
No, nothing.
Nothing.
100%. Anyway, that's part one. Join us for part two, where Craig Gilroy is going to spill the beans. So he is. Okay, we're back with part two, and we've got the one, the only, the dreamy Craig Gilroy. Just exactly how dreamy are you, Craig?
How dreamy do you want me to be?
It's pretty dreamy. Pretty dreamy, Jenny, huh?
I like the first introduction better. Can we go back and do that again?
No, that's gone. That's dead to us. Craig, do you remember when we first met or first spent time together?
I remember. First met sounds better.
Okay.
Well, when I first saw you, wasn't the same when you first saw me because you blanked me, remember?
I remember you saying this, but I don't remember.
Well,
you meant so little to me at the time. It doesn't even ring a bell.
You were driving a silver Vauxhall Vectra, was
pretty
it?
Slick.
Yeah. He was leaving.
Hey, that's show business.
New Forge, and I saw. I was only like 18 at the time, so he was like one of my heroes, still is. And I saw him in the car. He saw me, and I saw him. And I waved, and as I waved, he turned away and scratched his side of his head. So I was kind of just walking to the gym like this.
Like it's the most natural thing ever.
Yeah.
Keep your hand up.
Yeah. But then we went on to form a pretty good friendship, didn't we?
Yeah, yeah. I remember the first time we spent a significant amount of time together, and that was in the car on the way home from Limerick camp.
That's right.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
Do you remember what game we played on the way home?
Yes, we played that game where you have to pick a contact in the other person's phone and then keep them online for three minutes, wasn't it? Yeah, you couldn't let them go.
Yeah.
It got pretty intense, didn't it?
Yeah.
Do you get to pick Craig's contact?
Yes.
Oh, right.
I think you have one sort of veto. Don't you?
That's right. That was our real... We were kind of making up rules as we went along.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was just who negotiated harder, really.
Okay.
Got the better of the other.
Yeah.
And then as he would go through my phone, and then he would say, "What about this person?" And then he would try and gauge by my reaction whether it was a sensitive one.
Okay.
One that I would be uncomfortable with.
Yeah.
So I would try and be, "Oh yeah, work away, yeah." And then he would sense the bluff and be like, "We're calling that person."
Yeah. Yeah. And it turned out to be a good one. Well, it was both pretty awkward. We both kept them on for about 3 minutes, you know.
Yeah.
I think I had to end it quite abruptly with, you know, the old, "There's a pleaser behind me, I've got to go."
Do we know who he called? Or?
For me, he called a girl from Korea, like I knew when I was a kid, but I haven't heard from in like years and years. And it was, I think she said about how her husband went to the games or something, and then I was like all flustered, and I was like, I was trying to say he's paying my wages, kind of like,
yeah.
But I said he's putting money in my both pockets or something yeah. terrible,
something quite patronising.
Yeah, anyway, and I finished it, and I was just like, I gotta go with the police are behind me, so that like that.
Do you ever think at dinner parties you'd probably be like, Andrew changed so much in school?
Yeah,
random phone call. What a prick, like, yeah. Just talked about it.
She was so polite for so long. It was 3 minutes of, do you ever hear from, and it was someone from school, you know, what's the crack in here? And eventually she was like, "Well, what can I do you for?"
Yeah.
And then I was like, "I gotta go."
Yeah. It made the journey back from Limerick pretty good.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we hit it off.
Pretty enjoyable.
Okay, that sounds like a horrible game to play, but very entertaining.
Yeah, well, we got to know each other very,
okay.
Very quickly that way. But Craig, tell me, last week we were talking about memories of Rome. And
yes.
You had a pretty special 15 minutes in Rome.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it was, I'd like to play it a bit more, but yeah, I came off the bench.
Yeah, sorry, yeah.
That was the last cap for Ireland. So I thought it was enjoyable. And it was a nice wee weekend always over there, and good to dot down. Yeah, it was a tough string of injuries after that, but yeah, hopefully get back there.
And your back injury this year, what's the story?
It was the sort
I thought you were retired. I thought we'd both retired at the same time.
Yeah, it was similar to last year, except it was the other side. It just healed a bit differently and took a bit longer. But I started back running there on Saturday for the first time in about 4 months. So it was like learning how to walk again, you know, and I'm really feeling it today in the legs. But it was good to just get back running, because now you guys know yourselves, you can push on a bit once you get back running.
Yeah. So massive relief and stuff as
well. Massive relief, yeah, exactly. I was sort of looking at the Alter G, almost, you know, pacing up and down beside it, thinking, should I leave this another week? But it went really well, so I was happy.
So over the next 2 or 3 weeks, then you'll ramp up and you're maybe, what, 4 weeks away from playing?
Probably 4 or 5 weeks, yeah. Okay. So, see how I go this week. Maybe I can push on to, obviously, the Ultra G, you know, takes your body weight down, so I can... Yeah. If this week I get to run on my own.
Yeah, what body?
Running on my own. 27 years old. Yeah. Run on my own. we'll see, yeah.
Body percentage or body weight percentage were you running at then?
I started at 60% and put it up to 80. I actually felt more comfortable at 80. Do you know sometimes in those machines, it almost assists you too much and sort of takes you out of your running pattern?
Yeah, but do you ever just ramp it up so it's you're nearly like, oh, this is how Neil Armstrong feels?
Yes.
That's cool as well.
Well, Tommy Bo did that,
didn't he? That's what I was going to say, yeah.
On the, what was that documentary?
The Science of Tommy.
Yes, and it was funny until he was, you know, coming out of the machine.
Yeah, he got thrown over the handlebars yes. on the treadmill.
It was Phil Glasgow, who's now, I think, the head physiotherapist with RFU, was working with him at the time at Sinai up at Ulster, and I think he was on hand to sort of get it back down.
Yeah, I think Phil, I kind of have this impression that Phil was like talking to the camera and this was going on in the background.
Yes.
Yeah. And then Phil's like, Tommy, stop mucking about, you're going to get me sacked.
Yeah.
Tommy, huh?
Tommy, birthday the other day.
I know, yeah. We sent him a video, didn't we?
Yeah.
Did you send him a video?
No, he blocked my number.
he does that.
He probably blocked ours as well.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Never got a reply. Mm. Anyway. Anyway, so you're sorted then. You're going to be back in a few weeks' time and probably look forward to seeing you.
Probably a bit more than a few, but yeah, getting there. Back running, so
over 100. We all miss the Gilroy hit and spin.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks, I miss it too.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Hopefully I can still do it.
Yeah, have you enjoyed, like, has it been almost like a little bit of a sabbatical? Like just a wee bit of a break to kind of take a breath? Have you had any hobbies that you've discovered in your time off or... Do you know, it's been nice to have a break, get away from the lads, get away from the routine.
We sometimes talk about this with maybe smaller injuries, you know, a couple of weeks, you can kind of sort of rejuvenate yourself and get a good bit of training under your belt. But it's probably, you know, it's coming on about 4 months now, so it's probably a bit too long. You know, it's a bit bit more long term. So there has been games, you know, I've been watching and I've been getting itchy feet and I'm now at that stage where I'm just dying to hold the rugby ball and just to get back playing.
Yeah, well, the issue with yours was that it was a couple of weeks and it was a couple of weeks more.
Exactly.
So you never actually had a period here where I can kind of
exactly.
Off.
So a lot of injuries, you can go, right, that's 4 to 6 weeks or that's 6 to 8 weeks. I just didn't have a real, like, return to play.
You like a date. Like, exactly. You like a date, and then when the date is there and gone, you're not close to it. Yes. It's just another, like, knock.
I know.
It's just a mental...
Yeah, you can put that in the diary. You can put the game in the diary you hope to return. But, yeah, it was just going on and on, so...
Yeah.
Hopefully now I can set a few more goals now with the physios and the coaches.
Yeah. So, but you've had, well, you might not have had that much exposure to Dan McFarlane then.
Well, I went on a Emerging Ireland tour with Dan when I was in my early 20s to Romania. And what's wrong with Romania?
This is supposed to be lovely.
You did a strange face. Did you get that face? He did.
Can we edit the face out?
So
stop telling tales, Craig.
Facts are there. You did the face, not me. Yeah, so that was 3 weeks, three games with a lot of guys. So that was really actually enjoyable and it got on really well with Dan. So I was delighted to hear that he'd signed on, especially for, you know, 3 years.
Yeah, and he's made a fairly decent impact with us through the season.
He has, and he takes no crap, and it doesn't matter, you know, who you are. He treats everyone the same. If you're a senior, if you're younger, it doesn't matter to him. If you're playing well, you'll get the jersey, and I think it's a good sort of ethos to have about the place.
Does he actually treat everyone the same?
Except for Rory.
It's exactly the example
everyone
I was thinking of.
But Rory.
Yeah. Why? What does Rory get preferential? Like
he
a
does
nice
what he
spot
wants.
In the... He does what he wants.
He does what he wants. Fella. Okay. He runs the place.
He runs it. Yeah. Okay.
He gets There's a fight for every inch parking spot that's, you know, very close to the door. Mm-hmm. Probably one close to the door. The one close to the door you probably shouldn't take because it blocks the door, but that's Rory's spot.
That's prime.
You know, that's
okay.
It's almost better than the, you know, like the player of the week spot, so... Yeah, that's bestie.
And it's always it's parked
funny.
Quite ignorantly as well, isn't it?
Oh, did he take like three and he's just like...
I would just imagine, I mean, I haven't seen him arrive, but I would just imagine he's flying around the corner, he slams on the brakes and then skids to a stop.
Nice.
It's just it's the way it's parked. It's like that's no one else could get away with parking their car like that.
In fairness, he's up so early and he's a good professional. Like he kind of deserves the spot. You know, he's put his body.
How long have you been going out with Rory for?
About
2 years now.
Yeah. Tell me, we are sponsored by Guinness, obviously,
yes,
in the show, and as well as that, I always talk about the time that I defeated the All Blacks single-handedly. You yes. were there that night in Chicago.
I was there playing my role as 24th man.
Crucial role.
Spurring the guys on.
Yeah, couldn't have done it without you.
Yeah, providing Guinness halftime.
Yeah, but we met, and I actually can't remember. It was like I know, like a fifth generation from Arthur Guinness, or like
yes.
Arthur Guinness, the, I know,
yes.
sixth or seventh or something. Is this right?
One of us was talking to him. It was either, I think I was speaking to him and I told you this, or you were speaking to him and you told me this. And then we all came up with the idea to play the Guinness game with him. You know the Guinness game?
The golf, it's kind of like to the...
Between the bottom of the harp and the top of the G, you know, you yeah. have to stop the line, so... We ended up playing with him, right? You reminded me of this story in the car on the way down.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that Arthur Guinness is sixth. How have you not heard of the Guinness game?
The sixth?
Well, I said sixth.
Let's just tell people it's sixth.
I know, I don't know. I think when
sixth
I've told the story, it's
third.
Like fifth, sixth, seventh, whatever. Yeah. But how does this guy not know?
Amateur,
yeah.
Who won?
Can't remember.
Oh, yeah. Do you know what it sounds? It sounds like numerous Guinnesses were consumed prior to the meeting. So like, oh, we played this game. Yeah. It was probably some guy. Oh yeah, my name is Guinness. Yeah, and they're like, oh,
yeah. We made the whole thing up.
He snuck in like to the aftermatch and completely lied about this persona.
Yeah.
And we've just completely believed
next him. Day we're like, did we meet Arthur Guinness last night? Yeah, Arthur. To Arthur, anyway.
To Martha.
To Martha. Anyway, so that was some weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah. I was delighted to be there, but I would have been even nicer to have been involved. You know, I've got the plaque up in my house. It's one of those, like, only 50 made and everyone signed it and stuff, you know. And
yeah.
It's a reminder of it. It was an amazing week, you know, when the Cubs won and everything. But, yeah, you know what it's like being 24th man. It's you're there, but you're kind of not really there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was nice to have you anyway.
Thanks.
Another guy who's made a big impact for us this year has been Will Addison.
Yes.
He's a big favourite of ours on the show.
Yes.
I've seen him a few times recently and I'm always starstruck.
Yeah.
You're in a club with Will, isn't that right? You're in a frozen yoghurt club. Or is he not in it?
No, I'm not. I think you've got mixed up. So
yeah, maybe...
It's not a club, it's just it's an Instagram page I was telling you about. Someone's made up this Instagram page. It's called Will Addison Feeds Ducks. And it's nobody knows who it is. There's the main culprits are Jacob Stockdale and John Cooney, maybe Jordy Murphy. We think they could all be in on it, but it's kind of gathering this traction, you know, and nobody really knows who it is, but the photoshops of Will feeding ducks they're like professionally done. So whoever's doing it either knows exactly what they're doing or has like a person that's like professional at this sort of stuff. I was chatting to Will the other day, we were having lunch, and he was like, you know, looking at me like...
He rattled.
He was like, you're the Instagram account, aren't you? The Will Addison Feeds Ducks. Because obviously I'm injured.
Yeah.
I've been out, you know, you could be one of the top suspects.
Creative guy.
A lot of time on your hands. Yeah. And I was kind of taken aback. Like, I'm absolutely... I wish I could Photoshop that good. But... it's still going, and we don't know who it is, so it's a bit of fun.
So we sat down and got a coffee there last week, and he told me about this. And whenever I went away, then I went on Instagram, and I just got followed by Will Addison Feeds Ducks.
Ducks. That's convenient.
Exactly. Craig.
Andrew.
Duck feeding. Son of a gun.
That is suspicious.
No.
You're the duck feeder.
Absolutely not. Will's the duck feeder.
That's right, I know. Yeah.
Anyway, there's one of the pictures. It's quite funny. It's Will feeding ducks with a child, probably two-year-old, and someone's photoshopped John Cooney's face onto this two- or three-year-old. I'm not sure. So, I don't know. That could have been John sort of...
Throwing,
exactly,
yeah.
Exactly.
A nice bluff.
Yeah.
The other nice bluff that may exist is also... I also got followed by Jacob... What is it? Jacob eats yogurt,
something like that. I'm not sure. Again, I think that's something to throw.
But you thought that was Jacob, though.
I thought that could have been. I thought maybe Jacob was doing the Ducks account and he maybe set up the yogurt account to sort of, I don't know, that's not me in the Ducks account because someone's made up this yogurt account about me.
This conversation has wildly
How many people have tuned out since we started talking about this?
No.
Let's get away from that.
They love this.
Oh, really?
They tuned out. They fast-forwarded the rugby chat at the start. Honestly, they're like, I want ducks and yogurts.
Yeah, we've had and rugby pancakes all weekend.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly, yeah. Yeah, so Will Addison, he feeds ducks then.
Apparently so.
Yeah. You know, I set up a fake account one time.
You did? David Humphreys?
For David Humphreys, yeah. It was called Dr. D. Humphreys MBE, and it went for about 6 months. It was a bit of a giggle. It was Twitter. It was before the Instagram days, and then I got fined.
Oh.
I got fined a week's wages.
Which was?
not that much back then.
Ali Miller, there's a parody account for her as well.
Uh-huh.
But the thing is with Ali Miller, her real account sometimes seems like a parody sometimes as well. She's just like, oh, Netflix, hashtag mad. Like,
yeah, just, get away with being just a parody.
Yeah, so it is gold. Yeah. Just some of the stuff.
Did the Leinster guys ever find out who the boring Carney brothers was?
I don't think so. I don't know.
Yeah, I think Fergus McFadden knew who they were because he was sending on information. Apparently he got them caught.
Geordie Murphy. And Jordy Murphy's in Ulster, maybe.
Yeah, he's the link.
Yeah.
I remember David Humphreys' interrogation technique at the time was, it's you, isn't it? And just wait for someone to fold.
And you folded? You fell?
I fell. Yeah, so he got me, yeah. There was all this chat and I was loving it, you know, in the team room. I was like overhearing conversations over here. Who is D. Humphreys MBE and all? And I was like, it's my dirty little secret. And then at the end of the season, there's a review, you know, the players kind of give feedback on what worked and what didn't work, all this here. And David Humphreys sent this email out to the squad. And people were starting to realise that it was someone in the squad because it was like little in-jokes and stuff.
Yeah.
And then it said something. It was like, oh, this writing. And then a link to the survey or like the review or whatever. And then at the bottom it said, P.S. We're very close to finding out who D. Humphreys MBE is. And I went, so I went straight on Twitter and I went, let's get one thing straight. You'll know when I want you to know.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So then obviously it was 100% confirmation that it was someone in the squad.
Yes.
And then...
Had you told anyone?
I did. I told Rory. You know, like when you're like having a good time, you just want someone to share it with.
Yeah.
I shared it with Rory. Rory shared it with someone else. Next thing you know, I'm getting the interrogation from Humphreys. It's you, isn't it?
Yes. Everyone has that one person.
Yeah.
That I'm just telling you, no one else. And then they have one person, and then
exactly. So for a long time, it was just me and Anna at home. No, I mean it was me coming up with all the good stuff. But I was running the gags by her, and she was approving them. And then I was like, I really want one of the lads to know here, so I told Rory. I think Rory told Kavy. One thing led to another and I got done. Then I got this phone call one day and it was from the head of HR at Ulster and she said, I want to invite you in for a Twitter investigation. Like, real, real formal and all.
Not even a thing.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
You're like checking your contract.
Yeah.
The index, where's Twitter investigation?
Yeah. So I had to like arrive into this appointment and it was Shane Logan and the HR girl and... I was starting to get a bit flustered. I was like, this is getting a bit serious here. And I was like, listen, I was only having a bit of crack. I was like, I was injured.
You were buckled. Like,
yeah. I was only having a bit of crack. And then she goes, so then she was like drawing on one of the tweets that I put out. She goes, well, you might be having a bit of crack, but you can't go around saying Callum Black is cheap as chips. So I was like, right. Anyway, they said, listen, you're going to get fined a week's wages. And I was like, that's fine, as long as I get to keep my job. It was getting this serious. I was like, I'm going to get sacked here. I'm going to be that guy.
As long as I can keep my account.
Yeah, keep the account. Yeah. Delete the account immediately. Yeah. So, yeah, that was that.
Yeah.
Got done.
Just a bit of fun.
Yeah, it's a shame, isn't it? You're squeamish, Craig.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm real squeamish with just certain things,
like injections. Or taking blood.
Little bit injections, more given blood, getting blood taken.
So
you guys.
I'm all right. Like, I had to get a little pin out of my knee, and I chose local, but I watched some of it.
Oh yes, that's right.
And that, like, I wasn't squeamish, but I wouldn't do it again. Like, I just wanted to see what happened, and then the minute skin was pulled apart. Yeah. Sorry.
Sorry. He's gonna be sick.
Someone get me a glass of water.
Yeah.
Pat, is there any water over there?
Maybe
Pat.
Yeah.
The water.
Yeah, no, I'm not squeamish, but I would not do that again.
So, Craig, you were very close to fainting.
Yes, one time, if it's the story that I think you're referring to, we were getting drug tested up at University of Ulster, Jordanstown, and it was urine and blood this day, and Trimby and I were both chosen to do blood tests, random blood samples. So I told the girl, I told her that I was, she was very good, you know, and understanding. I told her I was real squeamish, particularly, you know, with blood. And she said, no worries. I was really like, white as a ghost at this stage. She said, just, you know, lie down, just don't look. Luckily, Trimby was beside me for support. So anyway, she was...
I was holding his hand.
You know the way that the blood kind of goes into that valve?
Yeah.
It's like an injection, and then the blood goes into the valve, which then they keep. So she just said, don't look. And so I didn't look, and then I'm like, are you allowed to swear?
Pad?
Oh, yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Okay. Because it's a really bad word. She said, oh, shit. Okay. So I was looking this way. She said, oh, shit. Which immediately I needed to see what the oh, shit was about. Instead of her playing it cool. And like, no, it's fine. She went, oh, shit. I looked. The valve had broke. Apparently it wasn't uncommon for these things to break. It had broke. The blood was coming out of my arm, out of the valve, into the paper dish. At which point, you know, I was just like holding on. My eyes were rolling in the back of my head. I just turned just to look for a familiar face, and Trimby was there, thankfully. Oh, sweet Trimby. And I think I reached out to him, but I missed him. He seemed like he was close, but because I was so faint, he was probably like a good like 2 meters away. So I reached out to like missed him, and with all I could say was. The head physio at the time was Gareth Robinson, also known as Gigi. So I just reached out and said, get Gigi. That's all I could say.
Then he passed out.
I'm not sure if I fainted or not, but it was the closest I've come to fainting, or else I might have. I don't know. But anyway, Andrew went and got Gigi. Gigi came back and he was like, what?
Gigi's like, what do you want, mate?
I just wanted, you know, some support. And I didn't train for the rest of the day. And, you know, I think I'm pretty sure I had to go home. So it was it's a funny old story to look back on, but it was a tough
day. Really well reenacted as well. For anyone that's just on audio, yeah, you need to see the visuals. That's like a diehard.
We'll make a clip of it.
Thanks.
Yeah. Can we go slow-mo? Do we have to?
Yeah.
Have the capability to do that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Definitely. Yeah, that was good.
Yeah. I wouldn't have had a better person, you know, to go through that horrible experience with than Trimby.
So. Straight away, on the way to getting Gigi, I told all the lads, you wouldn't believe what just happened.
It's quite embarrassing.
It happens. One of the girls doesn't like it as well. Or even, like, you know, dry needling or anything like that. But she'll be very matter of fact about it. She'll be like, yeah, I'm going to faint now.
Yeah.
And then just faint.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's like, fucking told you I don't like needles. Yeah. Like, so, yeah.
Yeah, so that's our Craig. Anyway, listen, that is the end of part two. Craig, you're going to stick around?
Sure, yeah, if you'll have me.
Yeah, stick around. Because you're getting a lift back to Belfast with me. I'm not going
You're
for
my lift, so yeah. I'm going to have to, yeah.
Stick around, we'll see you in part three.
Please let me stay.
You're listening to Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby on Joe, together with Guinness.
Okay, welcome back to part three of the House of Rugby, Rugby Roundup. A little wave to all of you. Wave. Jenny, Craig.
I think I waved the wrong camera.
I liked your wave.
Very happy.
Mr. Burns.
It's a bit creepy, that, sorry. Anyway, that won't make any sense to you unless you're watching Instagram TV. Barry's going to come back and go, what is going on? Instagram TV? Not in my day, son. I don't think so. Anyway, so a little bit of a roundup. Ireland under-20s. Are on course for a Grand Slam after beating Italy. Two tries from Munster scrum half. He's the wee hard lad, isn't he?
I didn't catch that under-20s game, but I think the Shannon scrum half, I think.
Yeah, Craig Casey. That's the wee fella that Barry was loving anyway. Yeah, Barry reckoned he'd a better pass than any scrum half in Ireland.
That'd be a solid argument.
Yeah. Anyway, so France up next in Cork. They've already been beaten by England. Ireland are 4 points clear. The women lost to Italy. They got a bonus point.
Yeah, that's the first time. The Italians beat the women's team. And it was a really, really good game. The Italians played lovely rugby. The Italians had some really good team tries, like really well worked. They're creative. And Ireland's tries were two lovely crossfield kicks from Nicole Fowley, Emer Considine, strong in the air, and then a really nice intercept as well. But we just never really... We didn't have a strong performance that I know we're capable of. I think one of the big things was our exit strategy. We looked like we didn't have one, so we were playing in our own half when we just needed to kick the ball and play a bit of territory, and we didn't do that when we were kind of ahead. And then once we were behind and chasing scores, we obviously had to keep the ball and work our way out. But by that stage, it was kind of...
We were chasing the game
and we got unlucky with injuries. Michelle Claff got injured inside centre, and things had to be shifted around. So Emer Considine went from the wing to outside centre with Sene Nupu coming in at 12. And Emer, like she said herself, she's never played that centre before, so that was a big change up. I think that'll be... The girls, like, that was a tough loss that he gutted.
So is the silver lining to the cloud... Ireland women not playing that well, getting beat by Italy, struggling for injuries in the centre, and you're just about to get yourself fit? Am I right?
I'm still a while off, so I'm like, no, I'm at the stage, like, you want the girls to do well, and...
You have to say that anyway, don't you?
I have to say that, but, yeah, like, I do, I, like...
How far away are you actually from playing?
So 3 weeks... Hopefully 3 weeks I'll be running, and then after that maybe running in
a line
that isn't just like straight and slow, and then like get back and hopefully play club with all Belvedere first. But like our season's coming to an end, so you just kind of want to get as much game time as I can. Yeah. So maybe like do some sevens tournaments or something in the summer.
Okay,
which would be a horrific way of getting back into it. Fun times. Yeah. I'm not really thinking that far ahead.
Yeah.
Just at the moment now, I think the France game is going to be really tough there.
Yeah.
They are still like raging from their loss against England. They were fairly hockeyed a couple of weeks ago, so they're kind of want to bounce back from that. And as well as that home game for the girls, hopefully we'll get a new record number in Donnybrook, so it's going to be a tough ask to get a win, but hopefully we'll see. And I imagine with that week that we have, like, I think Adam Griggs can like put a bit more emphasis on what we need to do in those situations. And
What about Pro 14 rugby? Do you see any of it the weekend?
Yeah, I watched the Munster game.
Yeah,
It was grand. Like
during Six Nations, Pro 14 is always just grand, isn't it? It's hard to get up for it, really.
Mm. It was like even the crowd in because it was an away game seemed like a little bit dead. Do you know, like
the Ospreys Ulster. The same place though? It wasn't Liberty Stadium. Same place Ulster played them the week before.
I think so.
Wasn't Liberty Stadium? Yeah, it's a different venue.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of that place. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a little bit dead. And then, but like to be fair, Ulster were really patient with their attack. They held on to the ball, and Ty Byrne had a class game.
So I believe.
Yeah, like key steal, key poaches, disrupted a line out that like the Ospreys would have been raging about.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, like man of the match performance after having just landed in Wales. The day before, the night before, or something like that, after being in Ireland camp, so it's like pretty good going.
He's a freak, isn't he?
Yeah.
He might get a bit of game time with Ireland, who knows?
Yeah.
Just obviously.
I wouldn't be surprised to see him against France.
Yeah. Connacht got hammered by Glasgow. That's probably looking ominous because Ulster have to go to Glasgow in not a few weeks' time. And that's going to be make or break for Ulster. Well, Glasgow, Edinburgh, Leinster is going to be a tough run-in for Ulster at the end of the season if Glasgow are hitting their straps as well. So then Ulster, or Leinster beat the Kings easy enough, and then Ulster beats Ebre easy enough. The Ulster game was, I was just get the job done and get out of there, really. Wasn't much more to say about it. Anyway, let's move on to the vote for the Guinness Made of More Player of the Weekend. The nominations were Liam Williams of Wales, England, open side flanker Tom Curry, or France scrum half Anton Dupont, or the turnover machine Pete O'Mahony. Now, we've kind of we've taken liberties here because this is a public vote, but it's a public vote dominated by Irish supporters and voters. So they've voted for Pete O'Mahony, and we've decided that that's not really appropriate. So will we do it ourselves? Will we vote ourselves? Maybe.
Yeah.
Sure. Pete can't get this, can he?
I don't think he'd.
Liam Williams class
gets my vote.
Yeah, I think so.
Do you want to get your car torched? An angry mob waiting for you out here if you don't vote for Pete.
He's already insulted the... Did you insult?
Who have I insulted?
Just for the record, I'm going for Pete. Sorry, Trendy.
Doesn't matter because we're getting home in the same car if it gets torched. You're not getting home either.
You go back to Belfast later.
Yeah, I think it needs to go to Liam Williams. Listen, we don't give them anything anyway.
You sound like you're just making this decision, so...
Yeah, well... Would you not give it to Liam Williams?
I would give it to Liam Williams.
You're going Pete?
Yeah. Pete. My car isn't that nice. It's grand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pete probably has some of Paul O'Connell's teeth already anyway. And they don't get it anyway, so it's a waste of time. Okay. We should really rethink the whole award.
However, if Peter Mahoney goes on Twitter being like, this is a public vote, I want my teeth.
Here, that's great. That's great publicity for us.
Yes.
You know maybe this is a ploy by us.
Yeah.
To, oh, yeah.
Let's draw a complaint. Some bad publicity. Who cares?
Okay.
It's all the same, isn't it? Anyway, so Pete, unlucky mate. Not getting any teeth this week. So we'll move on to the Twitter questions. Ask the HOR. First one is a little bit rugby boring. Okay. So we're going to just skip that. Go on to Ronan Carey. Watching this team feels worryingly like the Rugby World Cup 2011. Flat, low in confidence.
Like we already mentioned earlier, like jumping at the worst possible conclusion, we haven't had stellar performances in the last three games, and yet we're still in a title hunt. Our players that are normally, you know, like consistently 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10, they're not maybe hitting those peaks at the moment, but that's all right. I wouldn't be reading too much or worry.
And
plus we've got time.
Still the second best team in the world.
Yep.
And we still could win a Six Nations.
Yep.
So we're grand anyway.
Yeah.
Right, never mind Ronan. Barry O'Sullivan, if the Six Nations coaches were actually characters from the Goonies, who would be who?
Sorry, I haven't seen the Goonies.
Such a millennial. Actually, I don't know any of the characters' names, really. Just the, hey, you guys, that guy.
Is Chunk
Truffle Shuffle? Is that the
shuffle,
guy?
Yeah, who's Truffle Shuffle?
We're really just trying to find out who's the fattest coach in the Six Nations, isn't it? Really. So this guy Barry O'Sullivan is just trying to get us in bother. We're not falling for it, Barry.
Okay, yeah, actually, because there's today, no there's
not today,
no.
Barry, not never.
That's our Barry in disguise. Yeah. Trying to sabotage the show.
How many questions have we answered so far?
We've answered
zero
none.
From two. That's move it. On.
Yeah, yeah. Three trick questions. Anyway, Jeremy Kemp. Did you see Ross Kemp was at the England Wales game?
Yeah.
Anyway, he's no relation. What's your guilty pleasure? Movie, song, or sweet? Craig?
For sweet, I would usually go for a pick a mix, and that would generally be in the cinema, so kind of two birds with one stone there. The movie, I'm a big Lord of the Rings. Sorry, I'm still going.
I just think it's a bit of a cheat.
is there a specific one that you're like, yeah, I'd go out like in the pick a mix, or is it just?
It is the mix.
Okay.
Of the sweets, it's the mix end of the pick a mix. Is this movie something we've seen, or something? Is this like an old favorite, or something recent, or just anything?
Yeah,
I would say Lord of the Rings or Harry Potter. It would be something I would always put on. Sweets, pick a mix, song, something from Biffy Clyro or Macklemore.
Our song?
Sure.
Sorry, Johnny.
Oh, man. There's so much sexual tension here. And I'm just sitting in the middle. So
get over here.
Yeah. You're dreamy. No, you're dreamy.
Okay, for me, the movie's La La Land.
Okay.
Or, yeah.
Like, fair enough, yeah.
Too guilty?
No,
or
like...
too pleasant? What is it?
Anna definitely said before you left, you better pick La La Land.
No, that's just in my head today. Because I watched it today. Yeah, I watched it today. I made the kids watch it. They wanted to watch Paw Patrol. But I made them watch La La Land instead. Anyway, that was that. Sweet, sweet for me is it Whole Nut? I mean, there was that...
Classic.
Getting contrasting reactions here.
I love
He's not happy with
Cadbury's
it. Yeah.
Cadbury's Whole Nut
yeah.
is your guilty sweet.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's too boring, is it?
Come on. How old are you?
I don't know. Old enough to know the game.
That would have been up there for me. Like, really? I'm glad I didn't go first. Yeah, that's definitely like... The Whole Nut is like, it's
We're on that level yet for me to be like, that's a terrible choice. I would have been
brilliant, excellent decision.
That was my second choice behind Pick-A-Mix.
Yeah, and then songs, it's our song.
Huh? Oh, really?
My favourite song's our song.
Well, it's not called our song. What is it then?
I can't remember.
It's Many of Our, but do you like Baby Claro?
No.
No? Okay.
No.
Well, it's Many of
just
Our.
Go with this, Jenny,
just crap on my Whole Nut option and be like, it's a rubbish shit choice.
Do you want to tell the Baby Claro story with the concert?
There's not much to it, really. It was just early on.
It's not a story.
Early on. Yeah, we bumped into each other at a concert.
So I don't know why you called the story.
Why did you? Oh, dreamy to tell them about our Biffy Claro story.
Yeah, that's about that. That's about the height of it, yeah.
Class. That is awful.
Yeah. Guilty movie.
I actually, Lord of the Rings, love them and would sometimes do the binge of watching all three. I tried to do the extended... cut.
Brave.
Oh, it was long. It was tough. I actually had to take a break over Christmas. I don't feel guilty about it. I love it. Hunt for the Wilder People. Huh? I'm like, I'll keep on rewatching that. Yeah. I love that.
It's just a pleasure.
So good. Guilty pleasure. I don't know if you'd call it a guilty. Bon Iver.
Oh?
Yeah, yeah, really like him.
I don't think there's any guilt in any of your pleasures.
No, I'm like, I'm trying to think of what. Oh, that song.
They're like
taking care of business. What is, like... Oh, yeah. I'm not going to home it, because I don't want Annie.
It's the final count. Is that it?
Yeah, that's a great... Yeah, yeah. What is it? Taking care of business.
Yeah.
Bachman Turner Overdrive.
Oh, wow.
That's the...
You're so cultured.
No, when you listen to the song, you're like, that's not a cultured song.
Oh, right.
But, like, I love it.
I thought it would be on classic.
Or Bonnie
FM.
Tyler, like... Turn around.
That's more guilty.
Okay.
Now
we're
talking.
Yeah. Love that.
Yeah.
And then Sweet, like, I don't know, is this like Ferrero Rocher? Because I feel like an absolute, like, buying, you know, the three, and you're just like, oh, I feel like such a knob buying the three, but I love them. Yeah.
Ferrero Rocher, it's such a posh sweet, isn't it?
Yeah.
I love it as well. I imagine you go to Johnny Sexton's house. And he has a butler, and there's a silver platter, and there's like a pyramid of Ferrero Rocher on it, because he's just so wealthy and posh. And,
and it always has to be a full pyramid.
Yes,
so if you take like three or four off it, they have to restack.
There's a laser
it.
In it, like, oh, it's gone down. Yeah.
Yeah, and just out of badness, you take the one at the bottom, and the whole thing starts, and the butler starts panicking.
My brother, one Christmas, he, you know, like the cellophane wrap, opened it.
Yeah.
Took a few.
Tricky. That's a difficult manoeuvre.
And he shoved like tissue paper or whatever back in. So the weight was completely off, but it was a two-layer thing. Mm-hmm. And whatever. And then my mum gave it to a neighbour or something for Christmas.
Oh.
And it was, as you saw the parcel get passed across and you knew what was happening, you're like, oh no. Yeah. It was a bad job. He botched it. Like, I think he just got regular sellotape and just like,
there's like a fence being erected on the Monday between the houses.
And if you picked it up, it would definitely tilt as well. The weight distribution was all off.
Oh, well played.
Yeah.
Ruined someone's Christmas. Nicely done. Anyway, that's all we've got time for. Thank you very much for your comments, your questions, and listening and watching us on YouTube. Remember, if you're not already subscribed, get yourself subscribed. Leave us a rating or a comment. leave us a positive rating or a positive comment. We appreciate your feedback as long as it's positive and you love everything that we do. So anyway, a massive thank you to everybody. Craig, thanks for coming along.
Thanks for having me, guys. Thanks.
Jenny, thanks for doing an incredible job the last couple of weeks.
Thanks. I'm glad Baz is coming back, though.
Baz, good luck getting your job back. Mm. Yeah. See you, Baz. Nice knowing you. Okay, this has been Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby on Joe, together with Guinness. Thanks for joining us.
You were listening to Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby on Joe, together with Guinness. Drink responsibly. Visit drinkaware.ie for the facts.